Do I ask you guys questions?
I mean, that'd be a first.
I'm just waiting for the thumbs up from Matt, but you do stand up if you want.
This is your home turf.
Yeah. I know, huh? I tell you to be different and creative and think this way, a much used business cliche. Kayla.
What is outside the box?
You got it.
We're flying high with the wings and talking all things lacrosse. You're now listening to the Outside the Box podcast right here on Underground Sports Philadelphia.
OTB Nation, welcome in to a PLL semi-finals edition of the allegedly award-nominated, honorably mentioned, number 9 NCAA-ranked, and of course viewable on YouTube, Outside the Box podcast. It's episode number 291. It's KB, it's Deej, not in the studio because we don't have the fastest turnaround time to get the episode out for you guys. So we're doing it early because there's a lot going on as well leading into the semifinals. We're going to recap everything from Boston. Going to get you ready for Long Island. We're going to talk some of the NLL drama, some of the summer box drama, and hopefully fit it into a very time-condensed episode for you. I know last week was two hours, Deej. People showed out on YouTube. I don't know what it is, but the PLL Boston episodes always do well on the YouTube, so shout out to the YouTube watchers. Very excited for this episode. We're going to dive right into it, but before we get started, make sure you guys are following us on the socials at OTB Laxpod, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and of course, check out the main Facebook page, facebook.com/undergroundsportsphi. Follow Deej on Twitter at @SCS_nextgreat. Follow me at KBIZZL311. Subscribe to the podcast feed on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Leave a 5-star rating and review. Goes a long way for helping this show continue to grow. Helps where people find OTB. Helps where people find Underground Sports Philadelphia. And lets us do more dope stuff like we plan on doing this coming weekend on Long Island. And of course, subscribe to the Underground Sports Philadelphia YouTube channel. I know it looks like DJ is in his work office where he has been recording recently, but he's actually using Alaskan tech right now and has a full-on green screen behind him with the Aurora Borealis. He's actually in Alaska. You guys haven't seen it yet, but he did have a plea as we left the airport on Tuesday to tell you to subscribe to the YouTube channel, because on the last episode, if you missed it, go watch. But if we get to 600 subscribers and 100 followers on TikTok, DJ is safe from his Alaskan retreat that could have lasted forever. So if you don't want DJ to be in Alaska, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Deej, do you want to let the people know to subscribe?
Listen, I don't want to be a dead horse too much. But good thing this horse is very much alive. Please, please subscribe to our channel. I'm freezing out here, man. Like, I got on
those
long
northern
sleeves.
Lights
I'm,
are doing
I'm freezing.
Those northern lights do a great job reflecting your green screen, though.
Man, they look fantastic. That is the best part about being out here, though. The Aurora lights are just The view out here is much different than it is in Michigan, like we talked about. It's beautiful out here. But I do want to come back home. We are, what, some 60 subscribers away on YouTube and some...
We are currently at 543 subscribers on YouTube. So we are 57 away.
57 away. And
we are at,
I think,
62 followers on the old TikTok, I believe.
Just 38. 57 and 38. I like those numbers. Not
57, 38. Hey.
That's awful. Y'all hear this, dude, bro? We got to get these numbers up so we stop getting awful jokes like that. And, come on. And get me out of Alaska.
The core ethos of this podcast from day one was you come for the content, you stay for the dad jokes.
That's fair. That's fair. I just don't really have enough dad jokes to input. Well, I'm not at that age yet.
Well, you're another year older, brother.
Yes. But
happy birthday to the kid.
Not there yet. Not there.
I tell everybody that I have a dad bod just without the responsibilities of being a dad.
I like that. I might need to get up there with you. I'm trying to decide.
I do have a six pack. It's just in the fridge.
I like that. That's a good one. That's a good one right there. Because you're talking about like hiding it behind this fridge.
Oh, yeah. Hiding it behind the fridge.
Okay.
Because I would nice mean, industrial like, size.
I would mean like an actual six pack in an actual fridge. So, yep. Works both ways if you ask me.
Subscribe to the YouTube channel. And, of course, go get your merch, phiapparel.co. They're the best in the game. No doubt in our minds you're going to stand out when you're going to potentially the PLL championship in a couple weeks, getting ready for NLL season. If you're a college player, you need a shooting shirt or shooting hoodie, PHI Apparel Company's got you covered. And if you're a Philly sports fan, they got the best Philly sports merch out there. Go to phiapparel.co, and when you go to check out through this weekend on all Eagles merch, if you're an Eagles fan, go Birds, like Michael Sowers, you can use code GOBIRDS for 20% off all Eagles merch. And then if you want to support us directly on any merch, especially our own, use code UNDERGROUND to get 10% off any and all merch orders. Tag us when you get your merch. We want to see where you're rocking it from. We'll repost it. Tag PHI Apparel Company as well. Go get your merch, phiapparel.co, code UNDERGROUND for 10% off. And then through Sunday, code GOBIRDS for 20% off all Eagles merch. Deej, we had ourselves a hell of a time up in Foxborough. We saw the boy, Patty Pitts. You met the boy, Patty Pitts, in person. Yeah. We saw some awesome, awesome games of lacrosse be played at Gillette Stadium. David Andrews eyed me up like I was a freak of nature. And we went perfect in our picks and we nailed it. And then there were four. We're down to the final four. First time in PLL history in this format of the playoffs that, we have the top four seeds advancing to the semifinals. The number one seed Archers obviously had the bye. The number two seed Cannons move on. The number three seed Water Dogs move on. And the number four seed Redwoods are rolling on. This is also our championship series, so we will see these four teams collectively in February together. But let's talk about it. Boston was a doozy, and you know, knock on wood, this was probably our most non-headlined trip to Boston as a duo. And, you know, it was kind of nice that way.
It was fantastic that way. Surprisingly, zero problems on the interstate. Probably the smoothest 5-hour drive I've had anywhere in my life. I'm sorry for sleeping on you on the way back.
Hey, it was all good. It helped me have a clear mind to think, do I splurge and treat myself to a bucket list concert, which I did. We drove back from Boston, and I took Deej to the airport, and I texted my cousin, who was already going to this concert. I went and saw the Arctic Monkeys on Tuesday night, which was I've wanted to see them since I was in middle school. Because I was looking at their discography and I realized their first album I listened to came out in 2007, Deej, which I was a wee little seventh grader.
Not going to say what grade I was in.
And I was like, I texted my cousin. I said, do I splurge? And I said, My mom doesn't know this yet, but I'm going to splurge and buy my ticket tonight. And she was like, I just talked to her yesterday. She said you weren't going to be home. And I was like, well, we're getting back in a reasonable time because we hit no traffic on the way home, which was phenomenal. I took you to the airport. I drove home, showered, got changed, and went right back to Philadelphia to the Mann Center, which I hadn't been to the Mann Center in a decade, bro. And I'd only been there once. It was in 2013. Because before I was doing the whole internet thing covering sports and everything, your boy back in the day was kind of pseudo famous on the Pokemon YouTube world of things. And I went because there was the Mann Center's famous for doing like a bunch of like the orchestras because it's outside, it's an amphitheater, so they do a great job hosting that kind of stuff. And there was the Pokemon Symphonic Evolutions orchestra there, and I met a bunch of my internet friends at the time. It was a cool venue, but I was like, I don't know if I'd ever come back here for a concert, like blah blah blah. Fast forward, I'm here for Arctic Monkeys, and bro, the renovations they did during the Pandy Wandy turned that place into like a must go to venue. There's the main seating inside the amphitheater. It's an all outdoor venue, and then there's a terrace level behind the main seating. There's a balcony level, which is like a bridge almost. And then there's a whole lawn section. And it was parking was free because it's in a park. So it's a public place. So they can't charge you to park there. Amazing venue. The staff was the nicest staff of any concert I've ever been to. And the Arctic Monkeys blew me away. I don't know if I told you, I told a bunch of people, it was a top three concert I've been to in my life. And you know me, I've been to a shit ton of concerts, seen a shit ton of like very iconic bands, performers, top three, hands down. Like the way they sound live is equal to recorded, just elevated to a new level. Their stage presence was great. Unbelievable show. I said this on one of the episodes of the main pod that I recorded that just went up. Sometimes you just have to say, fuck it, treat yourself, and go live. And that's what I did last week when I went to three straight Phillies games. That's what I did going to this concert. It was fucking phenomenal. So if you're ever like questioning, do I do it? Just fucking do it. Because if I knew the moment I heard the first guitar strum, if I didn't go, I would have regretted not going for the rest of my life.
I'm glad you got to go. I'm glad we made it back. I spent my entire Tuesday in transportation vehicles, 5 hours to Philly, a 2-hour flight back home, a 2-hour drive back home from the airport because, well, I couldn't find a decent place in Anchorage where the airport is, so had to drive 2 hours away to where I'm staying. Not great. But either way, I made it. I'm fine. Travels were fine. I still flew Delta. Delta's fantastic. I will be flying Delta for the rest of my life.
No free ads, but no free shout outs.
Yeah, no. I mean, hey, they might have just earned one. Me. Just saying. It's unreal. But no, yeah, I was super happy with the travel. The weekend was fantastic, other than getting kicked out of the Bar Down Lounge.
Yeah, it was a bummer.
I couldn't believe
not that. That we did anything wrong. We were no. there, but not gonna you know win a battle with Bell Ricka Joe Namath.
He'll chill.
He'll be crying when the Birds go in and stomp on the Patriots this weekend. So,
oh, here we go.
you know you're rooting for that too. You love Pat Pitt's demises.
Yes, that's
plus,
true.
It's for the good of the company, baby.
That's fair. This is gonna pay me one day.
the lacrosse that happened though was fantastic. First game,
second to none,
was the best performance, especially in a first half, of Redwoods lacrosse I think anybody has ever seen in Redwoods history. They were up, what, 13-2
at 13-2 at half.
But I will say 15-9.
I was terrified at halftime. I was terrified. I was like, they played way too good. They just played way too good. Blaze is like,
they were dialed.
I was like, Blaze is about to go in there. He's about to sit in the corner the entire time AT's talking, not going to say anything. And then right before everybody gets up, he's just going to let it all out and just come out and be an absolute monster in the second half. And I mean, the Woods just kept pressing, and they were able to get goals from Westberg when they really needed it. They got one from Rowe toward the end of the game. Bertrand's BTB was insane from our view. They just pieced it all together. Jack Kelly.
Career day.
My God. Jack Kelly was invincible between the pipes.
Oh, and let's not forget Westberg tied a PLL record scoring 7 goals in a game.
Yes. Yes. And it's insane that there are a couple really good saves by Blaze that kept him from breaking the record.
Because
he easily could have had about 10 goals.
Mike Manley chimed in during the game, just flat out tagging Dom Starja, saying, remember when Dom Starja traded this man year one? Smart move. Good player. Great job by the Redwoods defense in this game. They played extremely well. Obviously, you know, Chaos made adjustments and were able to kind of crawl back into it a little bit, but Redwoods never let up. Played very poised, played very controlled, and from the beginning of the game, they were just in control of this one. They win 15-9, excluding the bubble. This is the first time the Redwoods have won a playoff game since 2019. Which is crazy to think about with like the sustained success of the Redwoods and like how they're kind of viewed in the league. So they finally break that, you know, little drought there of 2 years of being one and done. All for a date on ABC against the Archers on Long Island, which should be a doozy of a game. We'll get to that. Blaze posting his end of season, thank you to literally everybody in typical Blaze fashion. Somehow sparked people thinking that Blaze was going to retire. I wanted to text Blaze and be like, bro, these people truly don't know who you are. And then he flat out quote tweeted the tweet from Adam Levy, who said a message from Blaze with no context of Blaze retiring. It was just a message from Blaze. And was like, you don't know me if you think I'm retiring. I'm not even 30 yet. So if you thought Blaze was retiring, you're a fucking moron.
Insane.
Shout out to the boy. A phenomenal year. Shout out to all the Chaos boys. Like, they played extremely well this year. First time in a long time they didn't finish, you know, multiple games under 500. I think the future is extremely bright for Chaos. You know, they're 5 straight years of playoffs. They went to 3 straight championship games. They have all the pieces in place to be perennially successful. And they have one of the best fucking coaches in the league, you know, running the sticks on the field and running the sticks in the GM booth. So I think Chaos, even in a one and done year, they're still in a very good place to be tops of the league for years to come.
Can't win them all.
Exactly.
That's pretty much just what this comes down to. And the fact that they like didn't necessarily show up right away. Like, Redwoods punched them in the mouth, and then they let them punch them a few more times before they decided to do anything about it. Like, other than those two things, like, Chaos season was great. They had some up and downs due to injuries and guys being out for NLL finals and such, but much better year than what they had the last couple of years. And like you said, like, we could be talking about them being the first seed in the next couple of years due to where the team is trending with the talent that they have and will continue to get, because AT wears the GM hat just as good as anybody else in the league, if not better than a large handful of them.
100%. So, Chaos will be fine. You know, we saw what they are capable of with kind of a new look to them as well with Minicus out there. At X, so very excited to just see the future of Chaos. Redwoods rolling on, though. Then the second game, the Water Dogs, the Whip Snakes, Dogs come out on top 15-12. Kieran McArdle pops off like an absolute dog that he is. Michael Sowers, dog, pops off like he is. I was talking to Pat Pitts today as we record this on Thursday, because he's going to be on Eagles Enemies. That comes out later this week. Make sure you check that out. He said, that Michael Sowers guy's a freak. And I was like, bro, you think Delco Danny has an accent? Michael Sowers has the ultimate hoagie mouth that you've ever heard in your life. But he's an absolute dog. Love Mikey Sowers. That's really all the Water Dogs needed was those two guys to show up, because they did a bulk of the carrying offensively for this team. Zach Currier going 9 of 13 or 9 of 14 from the stripe really was the X factor, no pun intended, in this game, because I don't think that's ever the expectation when Cope is throwing him out there to take faceoffs. But the fact that he was able to be that locked in and win as many faceoffs, get possessions for the Water Dogs, that changed the entire complexion of this game.
Absolutely. And it wasn't, you know, like he was going against a slouch either. You know, like he was going against an actual faceoff guy. And
it's going against the guy who allegedly may have the only two perfect games in PLL history.
Oh, yeah. Petey LaSalle. I'm like, why am I blanking on who the Whipsnakes played? Like, he went against an actual faceoff guy and won more than 50%. Like, that's legit. And the scariest thing about the Water Dogs right now is that they're undefeated with Ward between the pipes this year. All of their losses came while he was in NLL or
not good for your brand.
Paternity
leave.
Actually, that's not his fault. Look at DeLuca's numbers in those games. He played fantastic. The D didn't play as well for him as they do for Ward, and that's not his fault. And also, he doesn't wear sweatpants, so there's like three saves right there that he doesn't get. Just saying. We're not going to dog on my boy DeLuca. Like,
I love
it. Like, it's bad for the brand. He's out there balling. The D needs to play better in front of him. It's almost never the goalie's fault. Almost never the goalie's fault.
I could spin this into a no free ads ad. But I'm not going to.
I was kind of intrigued.
Well, you know, underperforming D, maybe they just need Blue Chew. No free ads. Blue Chew, if you want to sponsor us, we are open.
Hey, I haven't used a Blue Chew. I don't really need to, but hey, I'm sure it'll make things better if I try.
We are open to ad deals. So hit us up.
Hit us up.
But the Water Dogs get it done. They beat the Whip Snakes again in the playoffs. I love that this is turning into a rivalry too, like right before our eyes. We've talked about it in the regular season. But now that there's a couple playoff games in the mix with them, it's really turning into just a fun matchup every time that it's on the calendar. It's very similar to, not as like toxic as Chaos Archers, but it's in that same vein where, you know, you have Redwoods Whip Snakes, Chaos Archers, Water Dogs, Whip Snakes. You could even throw in Chaos Redwoods in there as well. Those are starting to really be some fun matchups whenever they're on the schedule. So the Water Dogs advance, Whip Snakes out of it. First championship game and first semifinals that will not feature Chaos or Whip Snakes in league history. A changing of the guard, a turning of the tides.
This is good for the league, in my opinion.
Very good. Very good. Like, it was good for the league in 2021 when the Whip Snakes lost to Chaos. It was good last year that the defending champs lost to an expansion team. Like, it just creates the parity and makes it better. Like, we have the potential for either a repeat champion, that started as an expansion team. You have an MLL team who came in post-merger. And then you have two of the original six who the first one lost in overtime. And then the other one, the first year, was playing in a draft pick game and has underperformed in the playoffs. Like,
it technically does not have a playoff win.
Correct. Like, this is good for the league.
Fantastic for the league. Like, the fan bases behind these teams are so pumped, too. Like, and to think about it, like, outside of Whips and Chaos, like, for who could be left, these are the four best fan bases left. Like, the Redwoods is, like, the first real fan base that was, like, brought to the forefront with the chants in 2019 and, like, just how open they are on socials about being Woods fans. And then you have Cannons, who brought over the MLL and then got a bunch of new guys when they signed Paul and Lyle, which was expected. And then you have the Archers, who were, like, started everything with, you know, the Bunk Bed Boys. And then as the young crowd came in for their team, they got a lot of younger fans as well. And now they're just kind of like,
they are the hipster
swag team. Yeah, exactly. And now, like, young kids just gravitate to the Archers because of kind of how they act. And then the Water Dogs have always just had, like, a weird fan base.
They have,
like,
the Barstool backing.
They have the Barstool backing, but it's also, like, the people who aren't, like, in it because of Barstool are kind of just like, yeah, I just picked them. Or, like, they're all the people who, like, got into lacrosse because of the PLL, and they were like, all right, they're the new team. They're my team now.
And then they have that small pocket of Denver Outlaws fans because you have Dylan Ward, Zach Currier, Eli Gobrecht, like, all those Denver boys on that roster. So, yeah, it's great fan bases that are left for the Final Four. Congrats to the Water Dogs. Huge win. Emotional press conference for the Whipsnakes. Feels like there could be, as Coach Staggs put it, you know, lots of difficult decisions ahead for this Whipsnakes roster come the off season when it's time to start making those decisions. The more and more I thought about it, you know, we've talked about Chrome and how they have a lot of older guys on their team that could end up retiring or moving on, you know, being cut, whatever it may be. I think next season, the Whipsnakes Lacrosse Club could look very, very different than what we have seen over the last 5 years.
Very different from longtime names possibly hanging it up to new guys getting signed in free agency to draft picks, getting trades. More tick time than they had in the past. Trades, like, there's a lot of shakeup that could be going on with this Whipsnakes offense. It's something I asked about. I was like, you know, you've gone just about 5 years now, an incredible 5-year run of being just uberly successful, but there hasn't been much turnover. And, like, should we expect to see any at any point, or, like, you know, kind of how do you look to continue that success if there isn't going to be any turnover? And that was a tough question to answer for Stags.
And not that I want to spend too much time on it because it is more of an off-season discussion, but Kevin Brown put an article out for Inside Lacrosse. It said 1,500 words to convince myself of a Lyle Brennan O'Neill duo on Chrome next summer, to which he then quote tweeted it and said, Wisnowskis to the Cannons and Matt Cav joins Pat on the Whips, who says no.
Wait, say that again?
So he said, he wrote an article basically like convincing himself of a Lyle Brennan O'Neill duo on Chrome next year. Obviously, you'd have to trade for Lyle. So he said, Wisnowskis to the Cannons in that trade. And then Matt Cav, who I believe is a free agent after this year because he only signed a 1-year deal when he got traded to the Cannons, joins Pat on the Whips, who says no.
Me? Because I don't think the Whips draft Pat.
Well,
personally,
this is the highest the Whips will ever draft in their team history to this point.
Right, but I personally think they're going to just re-sign Jackson.
Well, if they don't, Cav Brothers on the whips would be wild.
And I don't know if Cav fits that scheme. I don't know. I'd have to, like, really sit.
There's a lot of pieces that have to move there, too. That would be, in my opinion, Will Manny's retiring. That would be, we're trading Matt Rambo. Like, there's a lot of things that would have to shake up.
I think
up
he could work with Rambo there. He could work with Rambo there. But one of the attackmen would either have to not sign back and or, well, actually, one of the attackmen will have to either not sign back or go to midfield.
Zed would be coming out of the box.
That either both of those have to happen, or one of those has to happen along with Will Manny retiring, because there just won't be space.
Which the more and more I think about it, I think Will's going to play another year. And I forget how long of a contract he signed in free agency, if it was a 1 or 2 year deal, but nonetheless. Whip snakes water. We'll have plenty of off-season chrome foil hats for everybody. Last game. Cannons, they get the job done. They score the most points in a PLL game this season, and they send Atlas packing. Final score 20-11. The boys were just buzzing the entire time. The pride of Belrica himself, Jeff Traynor, doing the damn thing. You had everyone contributing in this one. Asher Nolting with the ultimate sicko move, padding Jake Richard on the head after a goal. Atlas, talking about a team that has a lot of things to look in the mirror about this offseason. A very disappointing year for them. You know, you bring in a new head coach after Rubior steps down. You have two of the top three draft picks at your disposal. Not exactly the way you expected it to turn out. Xander Dixon was a bright spot in this game and this season. Another team that I think could look very different going into next year is Atlas.
I don't know about them looking too different. I think there may be a few guys who hang it up, but for the most part, I think this team is going to come back. Maybe coaching staff looks different, and not necessarily like somebody not being there, but just the way they approach coaching maybe differently, but like they're young for the most part. And like
the pieces are agents. That's the big thing.
Yeah. But the pieces are there, you know, and it's just a matter of putting them in winning situations. It didn't always seemed like the coaching staff had them in winning situations. Like a couple times this weekend, I saw people like tweeting, like, why is Atlas just letting Trevor run around with no help? Mm-hmm. You know, and it was just stuff like that where like guys were kind of just left on islands a lot to kind of just make do with what they can. And it's like, nah, man, you got to put your players in winning situations. So it was like, I think it was more of that. And we'll see something very similar to this group. There will be some change, in my opinion, just like you said, with expiring contracts, guys being old, maybe some trades. But like, I think a good handful of this group comes back and they try and make internal changes on game plan and how they address offense, defense, middle of the field, coaching staff, how they approach preparation, how they approach execution, all of that.
I think we will learn a lot about this Atlas locker room that, you know, guys aren't going to say, oh, the locker room sucks when they talk to us after games. They're going to be like, we love the guys in that room. That's standard. I think we're going to learn a lot about this locker room based on how free agency goes for Atlas, based on how many of those guys. And, part of it is going to be the city-based thing and where Atlas end up as a home base type situation, you know, what's conducive to these free agents. But I think we're going to learn a lot based on where some of these free agent guys on this Atlas roster end up and if they decide to go back to Atlas or if they leave. Yes or no, on Monday, did we watch Brian Costabile's last game as an Atlas?
Mm. Maybe. I can't. I really.
I said yes say. Or no, Deej.
I wish I could.
You're give not you 23 a- anymore. You can't dance around these questions. Be a man.
The thing is, like, there's no way to gauge where his head is. Like, I'm gonna lean no, because he's just getting a chance to play with Miles Jones, and Miles Jones has opened up a lot for the midfield already. Just in a few games, the team's gonna stay. Like, he's still got Xander Dixon there, Jeff Teat is there, Chris Gray is there. Like, there's, like I said, there's so many pieces there that they just need to be put in winning situations. And, like, this is the first, like, down year he's had, you know? Like, he's only 3 years in. I don't see where else he can go and be as...
This is fourth year. If he includes the bubble.
Yeah.
Because that was his third year.
I just don't see, like, where he can go where he'll be as much of a focal point as he is with Hellas.
I'm just looking at his stats. Not really, you know, kind of a comparable year to what he had last year.
Yeah, like
21 points versus 20 last year. He had more 1-point goals this year than he did in 2022, just less assists. So that's what, like, even things out there. Took less shots, least amount of shots he's taken in a full season in his entire career. His shooting percentage was up from last year. His 2-point shot percentage was way down, though. Full season wise, 2021, 38%, last year 10%, this year 7%. Shot 7% on 15 shots. He took the most 2-point shot attempts of his career this year. Most ground balls of his career this year. Same amount of turnovers as last year. Only one caused turnover this year. Had 34 shots on goal, which was the second fewest of his career in a full season. Same shot on goal percentage as he had last year. No penalties this year. I only lean that this might have been the last time we see Brian Kospiel in an Atlas uniform, unless Atlas roll out the red carpet for him and it's like, you're our priority. I mean, I think Brian Kospiel has done everything and then some to earn his payday. So we'll see, you know, what happens there if Atlas decide to make him the priority for their offseason. Obviously, there's a lot of question marks surrounding the goalie position for Atlas now, with the roller coaster ride of a season that Jack Kincannon put them on. Drake Porter's also a free agent, so they have to address the goalie position one way or another. So there's a lot of question marks that Atlas have going into this offseason. So we'll see how it all plays out. Cannon's move on. And
I guess with Kostabiel, it's like, where else is he going to get money and be an important part of an offense? Like, that's the only reason I'm saying no. Like, if he wants to get paid and wants to be, like, a focal point of the offense, Atlas is where it is for now. Unless, you know, he can work out a trade, be like, hey, like, I understand, like, things aren't necessarily working for either side here. Is there a way I can be traded somewhere where I'll still be a focal point and can make this kind of money? Like, it would either have to be a trade or somebody else is not going to get signed somewhere else to where he can refill that slot.
Which, obviously, the ongoing connection is the Redwoods, who every midfielder on their squad is a free agent. So that's the only other, like, thing to consider. But
again, I think a lot of those guys are coming back. So we'll dive into that later because I have plenty to say.
Cannons do the thing. So it'll be Cannons Water Dogs at 5:30 p.m. on Long Island. Archers Redwoods, 3 p.m. on ABC. And Deej, we have a special message now that the Redwoods have advanced for the first time since 2019 to the next round of the playoffs. We have a message from legendary, iconic head coach from the University of Notre Dame, Lou Holtz, called in and left a special message for Nat St. Laurent, Garrett Eppel, and the Notre Dame boys on the Redwoods. So here you go, everybody. A message from Lou Holtz. Hello, everybody. This is legendary University of Notre Dame head coach Lou Holtz, and I have a special message for the Redwoods Lacrosse Club as they advance to the semifinals of the Premier Lacrosse League Championship. I want to congratulate Nat St. Laurent for moving on for the first time since 2019, and I want to thank him for serving our brave country like he has in the past and does a great job leading this Redwoods team in the postseason. Shout out to Defensive Player of the Year Garrett Eppel, finally proving the haters wrong and winning an award like he so deservedly deserves. And yes, I used deservedly twice because he deserves it. Garrett Eppel is a fucking beast, and he deserves to be the Defensive Player of the Year in the Premier Lacrosse League because he is the pride and heart and soul of the University of Notre Dame. Shout out to Garrett Eppel, you slim reaper son of a bitch. And yes, I know that Xander Dixon kid tried to use that nickname, but that's you, Garrett Eppel. Eppel Island, everybody. I'm going to be there all summer long next year because I bought real estate on Eppel Island. Shout out to the Notre Dame boys, the Fighting Irish, you brave Catholic boys on the Redwoods Lacrosse Club. I can't wait to watch you on ABC this weekend on Long Island taking on the Archers, and I hope you beat the piss out of them because Notre Dame is always going to be on top. Shout out to the Redwoods. Roll Woods, I believe is the phrase that the fan base uses, and I can't wait to watch. So shout out to you guys, and now I'm going to go get my diaper changed because I think I smell something pretty stinky. Coach Lou Holtz, everybody. I love that we have the distinct honor of having Coach Lou Holtz call in to our podcast earlier in the week to leave a message for the Redwoods.
People don't know we locked in. We tied in all around.
It's great to know that Coach Lou Holtz is a loyal listener of the pod.
I mean, that's the reason they should be subscribed. Lou Holtz is, why aren't you?
Why aren't you?
Step like, that don't make up. Sense to me.
Step your games up.
Gotta
So, like I mentioned, Water Dogs Cannons, Archers Redwoods. We'll get into our preview here. It's brought to you by our pals on the island, Tomahawk Shades, the best small batch eyewear in the game. From sunglasses to blue light glasses, they've got you covered, as well as prescription lenses, and they have the all-new Tomahawk Shades app that you can download in the App Store and Google Play. And just for downloading the app, you can claim a free pair of sunglasses. Who doesn't want free? Plus, they have the best warranty in the game that if you break, lose, stolen, you just file online, you get a replacement pair. Right now, for up to 90% off this weekend only, use code LDW23 at checkout. 65 to 90% off in the app. And if you want to support the boys, use promo code USP for 25% off at any time. Shout out to Tomahawk Shades, the best small batch eyewear in the game. Deej, we're headed to Long Island. First time for you since early December of this year. Obviously, when we went to take in the Riptide, but now you finally get to go to Hofstra.
That's technically last
valid,
year.
Valid. So we're going to Hofstra, which was across the street. First time for you, PLL Long Island. The house that Rob Pinnell's family built. Because it is, I think it's Rob's uncle or grandpa who helped fund to get James Sheward Stadium built.
James M.
James M. Jimmy M. Old Jimmy. Jimmy.
Jimmy.
Gotta
stop right there. This is a kid's show.
Jimmy.
This is a kid's show.
Is it though?
Sometimes. Today it is.
The semifinals are set. Let's start with the two versus the three. Water Dogs, Cannons, it's the nightcap game. Top three things you're looking forward to from this game, looking to kind of expect from this game. Obviously, it's a battle of quote-unquote prevent asterisk because of Zach Currier, but not a traditional face-off battle in this one, so possessions will be a little bit different. But these two teams have played each other this year already. I believe it was Baltimore. It was a very funky game. Water Dogs ended up losing that game. What are your expectations for the two versus the three for who's going to be punching their ticket to Philadelphia?
Number one is midfielders. Excuse me. Midfielders in terms of face-off wings, face-off offensive midfielders, D-mids, they're going to make all the difference. You know, if Witcher scores a couple, if Rylan Reeves is pushing transition, if, you know, Trainer and the Aslanians are doing their thing in the middle of the field, Ethan Raw, it's going to be an interesting game with all of those names colliding in the middle of the field and trying to do what they do best for their respective teams. So the winner of that battle will, in my opinion, have a slight edge, but also second point that almost negates that, goalie play. Alan Kirst and Dylan Ward have been on an absolute tear all season. So like, depending on what goalies show up, you know, we haven't seen a bad game from either one of them. So it's going to come down to which goalie makes less mistakes, which is a tough position to be in because that almost makes you more nervous and kind of gives you more adrenaline because you're like, man, I can't fuck up because like if I do, then, well, that's it. Like it is my fault. And like all I had to do was make that, you know, those couple saves. And that's like where you don't want to be as a goalie. And then last is always, you know how I am. It comes down to a few matchups. I'm going to take a guess here that, I just blanked on every Water Dogs. Liam Burns will most likely pull the Marcus Holman matchup. So that's what I'm going to see. Marcus Holman has kind of been that guy for the Cannons, kind of getting him going is what gets the rest of the team going. He plays with that energy and that fire. So that's going to be a matchup to watch on that side. And obviously on the other side is going to be Jack Kilty against most likely Kieran McArdle. I doubt they'll put him on Sours, but Kieran, 8 points last week, is known for having crazy IQ and always seems to fit the ball in very tight spots. So having someone on his hands and, you know, disrupting his game is going to be very important. So those are my three keys for each side.
That's going to be the crazy part in this matchup. And, like, at least the Cannons have the guys to do it with Zach Goodrich, with Bubba Fairman, with Jeff Traynor. Like, one of, you know, Michael Sours, Ethan Walker, Jack Hanna, somebody's going to be drawing a shorty all game, which is the crazy part to think of with this Water Dogs offense. And, you know, Ryan Conrad, who has popped off the past couple of weeks up until the quarterfinals here because it was the Kieran and Michael Sours show. But Conrad had, like, back-to-back games, I think, with 4-plus points. So the Water Dogs have options, and, you know, we'll see if it's McConvey coming into the lineup again, if it's Jake Caraway, who's not listed on the injury report this week. They've got options across the board. They've got two-point threats with Connor Kelly, Rylan Reese. That's the thing that, number one for me with the Water Dogs, is just the options that they have, the optionality of this team to go out and score from anywhere with anybody at any given time. They are so lethal offensively. So that is going to be my number one. It's just the optionality that Andy Copeland decides to roll with in this matchup. Number two is how the Water Dogs defensively match up with Marcus Holman and Asher Nolting and try to not, you're not going to stop them, but try to like make them human is going to be fascinating. And then the other matchup is, can Zach Currier do what he did last week and get possessions for the Water Dogs? Because if you're getting that Water Dogs offense possessions and giving them more and more opportunities, that's a scary thought. And then 3A is just the coaching chess match. Cope versus Holman is going to be fascinating in the playoffs. You have a guy who just won his first career playoff game in very convincing fashion versus Andy Copeland, who it's funny to think like he's the old savvy veteran coach at this point, you know, and knows what it takes to win a championship, knows the buttons to push to do that. That chess match is going to be very, very fascinating to me, and I can't wait to watch that unfold. Let's shift to the first game, Archers Redwoods. Unfortunate news, the boy, the homie, the short stick D-Mitty of the year, Treasy, Latrell Harris, out for the year. Injury report comes out, torn ACL. Don't know when it happened. Had to have happened. Salt Lake, I would assume. Best wishes to the boy. Speedy, healthy recovery. That sucks, especially, you know, like, as fans of the sport, like, Latrell is just a joy to watch. And I think if you're a full-fledged Redwoods fan, too, you want the Archers at their best. And to not have them at their best sucks. So that changes a little bit of the dynamic in this matchup for sure. We're probably going to see Ryan Augehaven fill in for Latrell, along with the pups, the rookies at short stick D midi position. But what are you looking forward to in this matchup of 1v4 Archers Redwoods? Last time these two teams played, it was the lowest scoring game in PLL history. Redwoods were held to 3 points. Archers only scored 10. I'm intrigued by the matchup, though. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, this one's going to be fun. I'm glad that we're going to be there, since I am a Spectrum owner for cable services. I don't have ESPN channels right now, so definitely glad I'll be there to watch this game. Because it's not on ESPN. Well, it probably is on ESPN Plus, so I can watch it there. But still, anyway, the number one thing here is the faceoff stripe. TD did okay the last time he ran into Sisselberger, but like, the Woods are going to need the ball a lot more than they had it last time. So then, and that starts with the faceoff stripe. If you can win it there, then you know that you can go from there. And with as fast as this team has been scoring, as well as they've been moving the ball, 32 seconds, it's fine. And then beyond that, Redwoods midfield, they have been producing like crazy in this 4-game win streak. They have to continue doing that. It's tough against, you know, Jared Connors, John Robbins, and the rope unit that the Archers throw out there. But you have to get at them early, dodge at them hard, move the ball, and get shots on Dobson early as well, just to get in their heads. Because if not, it's going to be a long day for the offense if you're going to ask for a lot from, you know, the attack. It's been very well balanced, so I think it has to stay that way. And then, of course, like always, got to end with matchups. On the Woods offensive side, it's the entire attack unit against the entire D unit. Like, how is Warren Jeffrey going to play against Westberg? Are they going to decide to, you know, put a short stick there and move Warren Jeffrey up to play close? How's Matt McMahon going to play against maybe Rob?
Probably. I think that was the matchup last time.
Right. And, you know, how is that going to come out? And then obviously Graham against Ryder. And, you know, it almost seems like we're on the verge of a big Ryder game because it's been so long. Is this the one? But it's tough to say that when he's got a guy like the Cyborg hawking him down from the other side. And then obviously We know Garrett's getting Connor Fields, which leaves the question of who gets Matt Moore and who gets or Trey LeClair, whoever is at that third attack, and who gets Matt O'Keefe. I'm praying that it's Glaze. I would prefer Glaze there. But I'm not coaching. It's not my decision. We'll find out when that comes around, whatever Nat and Chris Collins decide. But pretty much a whole attack unit as well versus that whole D unit, not letting them get off first. And then, of course, OG. I got to see OG against Tom. That's going to be so fun to watch. OG was not around. He was unfortunately hurt in that game. So to see OG go against Tom is going to be fantastic. I think a lot of lacrosse fans, whether you like offense or defense, just the game in general, are going to be very pleased watching that matchup.
To put in perspective, too, TD had his worst game at the stripe against the Archers back in Fairfield. He went 6-for-17 against the Archers. Season low, 35% at the stripe. Only had 3 ground balls, which was tied for his worst, along with the season opener against Atlas. So adjustments will have to be made for TD for sure. My number one from this game is making sure that this Redwoods team doesn't quit if things get tough. You know, we've seen, especially in that first Archers game, where things don't go their way. Seems like Rob gets a little in his own head. Ryder gets a little in his own head, and then they're just taking sloppy shots. They're not being calculated like we know they can be. And then it kind of just leaves guys like Westberg, leaves guys, you know, kind of on an island to do their own thing and create on their own. If things get tough, you can't quit on the squad. The next thing I'm looking forward to is that matchup you brought up, Garrett Eppel versus Connor Fields. It's going to be a movie. Like, it's going to be extremely fun to watch. Fieldsy had a fucking phenomenal year this year for the Archers. Garrett Eppel, obviously, the defensive player of the year. So we'll see how that all breaks down. And then I'm just looking for the goalie matchup to see how that plays out, to see if the Redwoods can crack the code on Dauber, to see if Jack Kelly is able to bounce back from not only the Archers performance, but also not, you know, have a letdown performance after such a career game. And not that, you know, he's a young goalie or anything like that, where it would inflate his head to have a performance like he did in Boston, but like making sure that he's able to just like celebrate that and then move to the next one, which we all know he's capable of doing. And it's going to be up to the defense in front of him to stop the unbelievable Archers, you know, scoring unit of all those guys you mentioned. And then, you know, let's not forget a guy named Grant Ament. That's going to be it's going to be a fun game. I'm looking forward to it. Long Island's going to be buzzing. And this is the first time Long Island's been a playoff destination for the PLL. So we'll see how that shakes out as well in terms of maybe it's staying on the map as a postseason destination. But before we even get to PLL Long Island, Friday, by the time you guys are listening to this, it's brought to you by our pals over at Kenwood Beer, the official beer partner of Underground Sports Philadelphia. You can go to kenwoodbeer.com, use the Kenny tracker, see who's got Kenny's on tap for championship game in Philly. If you're not coming out to the games, what are you doing? But if you're not in the area, or if you're in Philly, just can't make it, go see who's got Kenny's on tap. Watch it on TV at your local bar. Go get it at your local liquor store in the Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, and soon-to-be Maryland areas. Got to be 21 or older to do so. And, of course, please drink responsibly. Deej, on Friday, Kevin Durant, the boardroom, Paul Rabel, street lacrosse is happening. We haven't talked about this yet since it was announced. I'm so fucking stoked about this. This is one of the cooler developments of outside of the actual league itself and league play. There's going to be pros. There's going to be kids, players. It's going to be a time. Our good pal Carly, Kicks by Carly, is going to be there. She's got a booth, so go say what's up to Carly if you're going to be at Street Lacrosse. This is one of the coolest things in recent lacrosse memory, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm super excited for this. Obviously, it's very localized right now, but like as this idea spreads, I think it's one of those things that will help the game of lacrosse spread. Just like my opinion on sixes, it's all an effort to spread the game to the average person. It's not taking anything away from the game. It's not changing the game. It's adapting it to get the average person in so then they can be interested, and then you can show them the rest. Not saying that there's anything wrong with the original product, but you have to tailor, like, that's just marketing 101. You have to tailor your product to your audience, and then you get them everything else once they're on board. Like, I don't understand that phenomenon, but like, street lacrosse is going to be awesome. You know, being able to just, that, you know, these kids and even adults are going to be able to just go out, grab a stick and a tennis ball and just play lacrosse. Like, that's awesome. Like, that's what makes soccer so big. It's what makes basketball so big. Football, like, you just need one thing, one or two things, and then boom, you can play. One or two things and a few people, and boom, you can play. Like, football, all you need is a field and a ball, and then you just make up where the end zones are and you call it a day. Like, man, like, I didn't realize, you know, how easy that was. Soccer, you just need four items to make goals, a ball and a field. Boom, you're playing foot, you know, you're playing soccer. Basketball, just need a hoop and a ball. Now that this is basically on that level, that you'll just be able to walk up to these courts, have a tennis ball, have a stick, boom, you can shoot around, or you can, you know, play an entire game with other people that are ready to play. That's what this sport's need. That's what this sport needs, and I'm glad that, you know, it's starting here, and once it branches out, I'm excited to see the way lacrosse grows because of something small and niche like this.
Like, this is the type of stuff that, like, I would play 100%. This fits my skill levels and just like engagement level of wanting to like go out and play, not needing the nines of equipment to do so. They're going to introduce it with the youth partners of the PLL, PLL Pros. It's going to be at Kevin Durant's Lower East Side courts. Carly sent me photos of where it's going to be, and it's fucking sick. Bronx Lacrosse, Harlem Lacrosse, City Lax, and Brooklyn Lacrosse are all going to be involved. And they're calling this the inaugural Street Lacrosse Open Run. I would love to see, like, off-season, like, mini pop-up type of street lacrosse events happening across, you know, maybe when they announce the PLL markets for where these home cities are going to be. This type of stuff happens in the off-season, happens during the week with certain pros if they're around. Like, that would be super cool if that's something that can be integrated. There's a quote from the initial announcement. It says,
or kind of like the, it kind of be like sixes, but like, mm-hmm. They kind of just sort of like, hey, like, you know, we're playing in Columbus this weekend. This is where the street lacrosse field or street lacrosse court is. Pull up. We'll be here 12 to 3 and we'll just do open runs. And then like, they just do open street runs at every, you know, every place. And maybe it's just a few video guys and like RJ and like one or two players or something like that. You know, it's just very small, but it kind of gives that same PLL vibe. Like, oh, RJ's running around doing the vlog thing. People are playing and you know, there's music. You just get that whole vibe of PLL. And that would just be kind of awesome for random kid or random fan to just kind of get the PLL experience almost.
Quote here from the initial announcement a couple weeks ago. When Katie and Ace invested in the PLL, we all knew our biggest impact would come from creating more access to the sport by giving back to the community. Much like the game of basketball, street lacrosse will function as an equalizer for anyone who wants to pick up and play with just a stick and a ball. Flexible rules in any setting, said Paul Rabel. For our first open run in New York City, we'll introduce street lacrosse with our youth partners and PLL pros at Katie's Lower East Side courts. We couldn't be more excited about the launch of this movement. It's going to be so sick. I can't wait to see all the coverage of it. And if you're going, tweet us pictures, tweet us videos. We'll repost it. We'll share it. It's going to be awesome. In partnership with STX, the PLL is going to be donating 150 sticks and 12 nets to the Eastside Community School. PLL will also be giving away 1,000 mini sticks to the public during the event on an open court where anyone can join a Street League pickup game. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait to see everything that comes from this. So shout out KD, shout out to the boardroom, and shout out street lacrosse. Maybe that's something, you know, when we get more funding, we're able to host like street lacrosse tournaments. That'd be sick. The OTB.
That would be so fire. I would be so sick. Here for that. So the OTB street series or something. Oh yeah, dude. Yeah, dude. Put it down. Write that down.
Write that down. We'd be OTS on the streets.
On the streets.
Last
outside
thing I
the box on the streets.
Shout out to RJ rocking the drip on ESPN2 and then getting a full send article written about him as he takes a photo with the one and only Camille Kostic while wearing my hat. If you saw RJ in the ESPN2 hat, that was mine. I brought it as a bit to see if he would wear it because the Atlas Cannons game was on ESPN2. He ends up wearing it. It's in the vlog. It's on the ESPN main Instagram account. And then he takes a photo with one of the most iconic humans on the internet and in the world, Camille Kostic, who's been on the cover of Sports Illustrated, obviously is engaged to, I believe, Rob Gronkowski. She's awesome. I love Camille, and I love that a piece of my swag collection is now forever in a photo with Camille Kostic on RJ's head of all people.
Yeah, that's fire. I mean, the whole thing was dope, getting that hat on TV, everything that blew up beyond it. And, you know, obviously the league is now going to get a bunch of eyes on it that weren't on it before because of, you know, big names like that and the tabloid phenomenon that came after.
That was unreal. When I saw that, I was like, huh? I was like the Leo meme. That's my hat.
No, for real. You're like, hey, I'm partially famous.
It's like that my episode hat. Of SpongeBob where it's like, I'm right there. It's just the top of his hat in the commercial for the Krusty Krab.
Literally, it's the hat. It's the hat.
Shout out to RJ. Shout out to Camille. Open invite to Camille Kostic if she wants to come on the pod, obviously. Legend.
So clearly, are the Detroit Lions.
I saw.
That's insane. They just beat the Chiefs week one in Arrowhead.
Yep.
Give the Chiefs the chip again. They finna go on a rampage when Travis get back.
Or I'm are upset. They cooked? Did the Lions riz up Livy Dunn? Are the Lions the new Drip Kings?
Bro.
Sound off in the comments.
Please.
Did you see Ian McKay? Speaking of the Lions, before we switch to our picks, did you see Ian
McKay's
tweet?
Yes, I saw Ian's tweet. Yes. Yes.
Did you see Logan's follow-up tweet?
No, Logan I didn't just see that.
Said probably the position he's playing in the
Oh,
video.
Yeah. Actually, I did. Yeah. I was like, you got a good point there, Logan. You got a good point.
Well.
But I also knew, like, Ian was being, like, totally satirical and doing the whole thing that everybody does when they find out someone plays. And it's like, oh, can we not do this time? Which it seemed like we didn't for the most part. I may have missed it all, and it just didn't pop up on my TL. But I didn't see much of that this time around.
Yeah. I did laugh. RJ posted a photo of somebody in a Chris Hogan Cannons jersey this weekend and said the house that Hogan built.
Yes. Yes, that's what we're here for.
Shout out to Chris Hogan.
Robert
Still
Kraft,
the only who... lacrosse podcast that Chris Hogan has never been on.
Do we want to just keep it that way?
No, I'd love to have Chris Hogan on. Obviously, owner of Tomahawk Shades.
Damn it. I think it's kind of cool that neither one of the lacrosse playing owners of that had been on our pod.
I hate it. I want K18 on the pod. I want
I do.
Chris Hogan on the pod.
I talked with K18 a little bit this weekend, actually. Me and Connor.
Before you got booted?
Yeah, before we got booted from the bar down. Yeah. I can't believe that. Still.
What a time.
I'm of age. Why are you kicking me out of here?
Get him out. Let's.
No. Not down here. You got to go.
Get him up out.
He Maddie Palin does. No. Go.
Karen!
Go.
I told you 3 times already. Let's feed some ducks. Get to our Long Island semifinal picks of the week, brought to you by Trophy Smack. Football season's here. Your fantasy leagues are here. No better way to upgrade your fantasy smack. Talk to them with our pals at Trophy Smack. They got trophies, belts, metal wall art, rings, turnover chains. You name it, they got it. Go to trophysmack.com/underground and upgrade your fantasy smack talk today. That's trophysmack.com/underground to upgrade your fantasy smack talk. Deej, we start at 3 p.m. on ABC. The number one seed Archers taking on the number 4 seed Redwoods in a battle to punch the first ticket to Philadelphia, the city of champions. Will it be the Philly boy Archers, or will it be the Woods rolling on to Philadelphia for the first time since 2019 in the first semifinal matchup?
Nat and the boys, I love you dearly. And it's always Roll Woods. But I'm a little scared. And safety-wise, mostly because of how okay my record was this year, I gotta go Archers.
Need I remind you that no number one seed in this current format has won a championship.
And we've never had all 4 in this current format.
Never had that in this current format.
First time for everything, my dog.
And I'm telling you, the way the Redwoods are playing right now is the best lacrosse they've played in this iteration of this team. I gotta roll with the hot hands. Give me the Redwoods to pull the upset. They've been playing well. I've learned this from watching other sports as well. Sometimes the bye week does you dirty. You keep playing, you stay warm, you stay on your feet, you stay playing with the boys. It does you good. I think it's going to do good for the Redwoods that they played last week, that they played as well as they did. They've got revenge on their mind from the first time they saw this team. And the Archers have just been sitting around waiting to see who they were going to play. I'm taking the Redwoods in an upset to punch their ticket to Philadelphia and be playing in a championship game again at Subaru Park.
You know, deep down in my heart, that's what I want. So I'm not opposed to that.
The next matchup, 5:30 p.m. Eastern time. I'm going to get carpal tunnel this weekend between game one, the Eagles playing at 4:25, and then the second game of the PLL. Cannons Water Dogs, Battle of the Expansion Teams. We could either have the defending champs barking their way back to Philly, or the Boom Squad heading to Philadelphia for the first time in their PLL history. I love the way both of these teams have been playing all year long. The consistency that both teams have displayed has been phenomenal. But there's one thing that stands out to me as the ultimate X factor that has swayed my decision. The Water Dogs have not lost with Dylan Ward in cage this year.
I said that to you earlier.
Dylan Ward also has the highest save percentage on assisted shots this year. Shout out Joe Keegan. With just over 60%. Who's a team that likes to pass the ball a lot and create? The Cannons. I think this game is going to be close. It's going to come down to the wire. But I think the championship experience that this Water Dogs team has, along with Dylan Ward's unbelievable year he's having, will prevail. And the defending champs are headed back to Philly for a second straight year.
I want to go off vibes so bad. But vibes don't mean nothing. I gotta trust the veterans that have been there. And the only place that the Water Dogs have veteran where the Cannons don't is in between the pipes. That's a very important position when it comes to playoff play.
And Kirstie's not 100% either.
And that's the only reason I'm leaning to the Water Dogs. I think the Cannons have everything else they need. But not having a guy like Dylan Ward between the pipes. No slight on Colin. He's just young and doesn't have the experience that Dylan Ward has. It's going to come into a factor. And I'm selfishly hoping the Water Dogs win for two reasons. One, a third matchup with the Archers would be crazy. And maybe, just maybe, we get purple and orange. I doubt it. I wouldn't mind black and orange, but we'll see what we get when we roll around to that, if it happens. But also, there's one team in the PLL that has never beat the Redwoods. It's the Water Dogs. So if the Redwoods were to upset the Archers, I would love for them to play the Water Dogs in the championship. It seems like it's a good chance for the Redwoods to finally win their first championship. So yes, I selfishly want the Water Dogs to win this game.
Yeah, I think the Water Dogs just have the championship pedigree and the experience to know the moment. Not that the Cannons don't, but the Water Dogs were in this position last year and got it done. So I got the Redwoods and Water Dogs moving on. The 3 versus the 4. DJ's got the ultimate Philly battle showdown. Archers Water Dogs for Philly supremacy versus Grant Ament and Michael Sowers. We'll see how it unfolds. We will be on Long Island along with host of the Get in the Hole podcast on the Underground Sports Philadelphia Podcast Network, Stephen McAvoy, joining us, indoctrinated Redwoods fan himself, getting to see his team for the first time.
Also the first time he gets to see me in person.
Correct. He will be doing some man on the street type videos for us. I have a great concept for him that I can't wait to tell him about. So if you see a glasses-wearing Redwoods jersey-rocking member of the media asking you questions, hop in the video because you never know if you'll pop up on it, just like Deej and Pitts did in Dukes' video. Shout out to the boy. But those are our PLL Long Island Picks of the Week, brought to you by Trophy Smack. Archer's Dogs for Deej, Woods Dogs for your boy. From the PLL to the NLL, free agency latest. One weird move that happened today as we record this, Mike Poulin allegedly pulling a I'm back, Michael Jordan, Brett Favre coming out of retirement and getting traded to the San Diego Seals. I don't know if he's going to play. I don't know if this is one of those things where we just saw Calgary and San Diego trade picks to coaching rights. Mike Pullen retired last year and moved into the front office for the Georgia Swarm. So I don't know if this is a trade to make Mike Pullen a member of the coaching staff or if he's going to come out of retirement and play. I think Christian DelBianco's tweet was chefskiss.gif. Everyone's retired until they see the word Disneyland. Were you as flabbergasted as I was?
Yes. Yes. But I was also super flabbergasted when they traded Frank Skiggs away as well. Like, I didn't see either of these moves coming, but I mean, it makes sense. Maybe he just comes on as coach and coaches goalies, but like, why wouldn't you want Mike Poulin back there coaching your goalies? Like, it makes sense to me whether he plays and comes out of retirement or he's on the bench. Like, smart move for them. Obviously, trade picks were involved. This draft class looks pretty good, just like the PLL one does. So, like, I'm not upset with this trade for either side. I think either side kind of did well in this trade and got at least one piece they needed plus a draft pick. So it was kind of like a swap kind of thing there. So, I mean, Poulin's just a big name, so it seems bigger than what it is. But I think both sides fared out well. And I'm interested to see. I want him to get back between the pipes, honestly.
You know what this means, Deej?
No, don't you say it. Don't you
Mr.
say it.
Mr. President, rebuild that Poulin wall.
That is just awful, man. Y'all are awful. Y'all got to stop that. I'm glad that announcer's not going to be doing all of his games. He'll do the ones when he's back in Georgia, but not all of them, which hopefully that doesn't translate. And they just, I mean, calling Mike Poole or something, man. Like, I don't know.
He's just cooling and pooling.
That's fine. Yeah, cooling in the pooling. Like, something, bro. Just not that other one that I don't say.
The other big move, Jeff Traynor signed a one-year deal with the Albany Firewolves as well. The pride of Billerica playing in the NLL. If he makes the roster, that sucks for the Cannons Championship Series roster because Jeff Traynor was a fucking dog for the Archers last year in the Champ Series. But Jeff Traynor has been wanting to play box lacrosse for quite some time, staying as close to Billerica as he possibly can. Playing in Albany, joining up with Ethan Walker, Connor Kelly, Nards, and the team that's got the number one overall draft pick. So, shout out to the Kieran. Boy. Kieran's up there.
Probably Dyson Williams now that you say they got the number one pick. Like, yeah, that team's starting to look pretty good. They got to figure out some other nuanced things. But yeah, but I like the Jeff Traynor pick for them. I like it. For Jeff, like, he's going to be doing something he's been trying to do for a while. It's always exciting to get that opportunity. He played well this past weekend. He's a great guy. Was one of our better press conferences of the year. I mean, guy walked in and was like, hey, so am I asking y'all questions? Like, I have no clue what's going on here. And like, it was just such a good time, and he deserves it. So it's going to be interesting to see him work his way into most likely a transition role for them with the offense that they have. It could be electric.
Yeah. And speaking of box, we've got summer box drama.
Oh, I mean, do we want to start with the NLL drama before?
Oh yeah, there is other NLL drama. The
abomination of no draft
stream. No draft stream. So that means we will not be streaming because we won't know how to keep up with everything going on because we'll just be following along on Twitter because the draft is happening in Canada. No draft stream whatsoever on any platform, so the draft will not be watchable, which is a disaster. Gotta be better. got to be better. You want to grow this the game. You want more people to take in the next generation of players. You got to have a draft stream.
See, this is the first time I can mark since I've been covering the sport that there's been a backwards move. This is a backwards move. Like, you can't go from streaming the draft. Everybody streams their draft. Everybody. That's the whole point of putting the new guys on, letting guys know who's going to be on their team next, why they should be tuned into that guy. Is it a good pick? Is it a bad pick? What do you have to say about it? All of those things are what feeds into the season. Like, your draft is the last, kind of pretty much the last big thing you do before you head into the season. So to not do it, you're like leaving out potential viewers for an entire season. It's just not smart on any level to do something like this.
Yeah, I was blown away that was the case. NLL also refreshed its brand logos. Don't really know what much of the change was with the original logo. The branding included a refined primary logo, stylized wordmark, and for the first time, a French language Ligue Nationale de Lacrosse. My brain hurt when I was looking at that logo because I didn't realize that it was a French logo at first, and I was like, why did they switch that up? It was like those fucking Target furniture parents who put their kids' names on their walls in their bedroom, and it's like, here's the first initial, and then here's their middle initial on the left and the last initial on the right, and it makes me want to pull my eye sockets out. I was like, no, brain does not compute. But it is a French logo, which has driven everybody to thinking that the NLL is going to be coming back to Montreal. The updated logos and brand positioning framework coincide with the launch of the league's new licensing initiative, NLL Authentics. It's going to streamline merchandising potential as well as helping our official partners connect with our fans and communities more efficiently. NLL's expanded portfolio of official licensees and new assortment of retail merchandise will launch in advance of the 2023-2024 season this December. So we'll see. I don't know what that means with like the Fanatics partnership or what changes there, but I mean, cool.
Yeah, cool. That's whatever. Like, the news of not having the stream is going to overshadow all of that big time. So
yeah,
kind of doesn't matter.
Speaking of streams, we got summer box drama.
Yep.
Dane nice Smith segue. Signs with Six Nations. Mike Messenger signs with the Salmon Bellies. And it's just the Avengers of box lacrosse assembling that nobody's going to be able to watch because it's going to be $20 per game to stream. You're out of your fucking mind if you think the casual fan who just wants to watch these guys play is going to pay $20 per game. Which, if the series goes 7, you're going to be dropping upwards of like $170 after like fees and everything to watch the entire series. That's fucking lunacy.
Yeah, it's $10? Probably. You probably get a nice handful of people to watch for $10. 100 or 20 is crazy. Because it's a best of 7, so I automatically got to spend $80. And then if it goes any farther than that, I got to spend more.
It's crazy.
That's crazy. We're talking $140 off rip if there's not any fees or anything, if it goes 7.
Conversion fees from U.S. to Canada?
Not cool.
No.
Guys are not going to be watching. And Nobody's really going to be watching.
I'll wait for somebody who is rich enough to pay and clip it and put it on the internet to watch highlights, because that's absurd. You know, we talked about rebranding the logos of these teams because they're absolute dog water. This idea is fucking dog water. Like, go out and get your shit sponsored. Get sponsors.
Oh, I'm sure it's sponsored.
No, it's not. Because it's the job. I saw people talking about, like, it's the job of, like, Lacrosse Canada to do everything, and, like, it's a whole mess. Do the right thing and operate like a fucking sports league. Like, I get your amateur and everything at the end of the day, but, like, you're amateur at the end of the day. Nobody's going to pay $20 per game to watch guys play who they want to watch play because you're too stiff on being able to make it a functional and accessible product. I was blown away that it was $20 a game. $20 for the series? Sure.
Mm-hmm.
$20 a game is fucking asinine.
Insane. Like, there's going to be so many people that just don't watch that. They're going to catch so much flack, and maybe it gets changed next year, but man, that's crazy. I couldn't believe that when I saw it. I was like, nah, this ain't real. Same thing I thought when I saw the draft stuff, and I was like, oh, both of these things are very real.
Mm-hmm. So, figure it out. Figure it out. Grow the game means making it accessible. So, just a shit show of a week for the box lacrosse community.
Absolute shit show.
That's all we got for you guys on this episode. We will see you on Long Island on Sunday. Make sure you guys are following us on the socials at OTB LaxPod, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, Facebook.com/UndergroundSportsPHI. Follow Deej on Twitter at @SCS_NextGreat. Follow me at KBIZZL311. Subscribe to the podcast feed on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. Leave a 5-star rating and review. It goes a long way for helping the show continue to grow. Helps us do more dope stuff and helps more people find Outside the Box and Underground Sports Philadelphia. And Deej, I'll let you say this part because you need to talk to the people.
Subscribe to us on YouTube at Underground Sports Philadelphia. You can search that at youtube.com/@UndergroundSportsPhiladelphia. Click the subscribe button. Go to your mom, go to your sister, your girlfriend, go to their parents, go to everybody's parents, everybody's sisters, cousins, even random people on the street, and just say, hey, I need you to subscribe to Underground Sports Philadelphia. Gotta save my boy DJ from Alaska. Also, get up on the TikTok. I know y'all be on it numbnessly scrolling through like I do, forgetting that you exist because it warps your brain into a timeline. Just search OTB LaxPod real quick, hit that quick follow button, and then you never have to interact again if you don't want to.
But you should.
Get out of here. You should. Absolutely should. But the main focus is getting me out of here.
So, yeah, go check all that out. Subscribe, and go get your merch, phiapparel.co, code underground for 10% off any and all merch orders. And this has been episode number 291 of the allegedly award-nominated, honorably mentioned, number 9 NCAA ranked, and of course viewable on YouTube, Outside the Box Podcast, the official lacrosse podcast on the Underground Sports Philadelphia Podcast Network. Happy birthday to Deej, celebrated in Boston, but we will see you on Long Island, and we'll know by this time next week who's playing for a PLL championship. We're getting the heck up out of here. Peace.
Peace.
And that's Outside the Box.